We're going to spend 2 weeks doing microscopy. This weekend, next week, you'll have the same setup for both. And today is mostly getting acquainted with the microscope. Microscopy is not actually as easy as just putting your eyes up to the instrument. And it's pretty probable that everyone in here sucks at it right now. And probably will still suck at it when you leave today, but that's why we practice. It's not as easy as it looks, but I want to explain how to use this properly and a little bit more about the microscope in general. There's different kinds of microscopes. So first of all, this is a light microscope as opposed to an electron microscope. A light microscope uses humanly visible light that it passes through the specimen, whatever you're looking at. And then it goes through a lens before it reaches your eyes. We also have dissecting scopes in here, which are also light microscopes. And I'm not going to demonstrate those, but you should use those on your own, either this week or next week. Anyway, they both are light microscopes. This one, more specifically, is a slide scope because it is specifically designed to put specimens on glass slides. You only use this kind of scope with a slide, and you never use, the dissecting scope you can use with more macroscopic things, things that you can see with the naked eye but get a hell of a lot better close-up view. And it's interesting to look at things like your fingers and stuff under a dissecting scope. But anyway, the slide scope is what I'll talk about mostly. And even more specifically than saying that it's a slide scope, you can say that this model is a compound scope. And what is it that makes a compound microscope a compound scope? What is it? Well, that's not enough. It is true that a compound scope has two lenses. At least, but for instance, this is not a compound scope because you have two lenses that you look through. The fact that you have two lenses to look through makes it a stereoscopic scope, as opposed to one that just has one lens that you look through. So that's not what makes it compound. What makes a compound scope compound is that there are sequential stages of magnification, meaning that light passes through two different kinds of lenses, one at a time. First, it passes through one lens, magnifies the image a certain amount, but before it reaches your eyes, it then passes through another lens that magnifies it again. And so that defines two different categories of lenses. What are those categories?
Objective and ocular.
Right. Objective lens and ocular lens. Well, ocular means of the eye. So the ocular lens or lenses in this case are the ones that you actually put your eyes up to. The objective lens, however many there are, in this case there are three, are so called because they are the ones that are closest to the object, the specimen that you're trying to magnify. And so in any, or the simplest possible compound scope would be one that has just one objective lens and one ocular lens. But this has more than one objective lens, and they are all mounted on this black ringed swivel. What is that swivel called, other than a swivel? What's the real name of the swivel that contains the objective lenses? It is the nose piece. So on a scope like this one that has multiple different objective lenses, changing those objectives is how you adjust magnification. All right, now speaking of magnification, each individual lens type has its own magnification, and you can see the magnification of each objective stamped on its side. For instance, on this model, the shortest objective lens, which is the red striped one, is marked with a 4x. So just due to that lens by itself, the image is increased four times. It would look four times bigger to you than it actually is. But you don't see it after that because it's a compound scope. It gets magnified by the objective, and then that already magnified image gets magnified again by passing through oculars before reaching your eye. And in this model, the ocular lenses have a magnification of 10 times just by themselves, or 10x just by themselves. Well, the total magnification, which is how much bigger it looks to your eyes, is the mathematical product of the two individual magnifications. So if you did use the red striped one, which is 4x, the total magnification would be 4x times 10x, which is 40x. It would look 40 times bigger than it actually is. And similarly for the other objective lenses. The reason that the objective lenses are mounted on a nose piece is not just to make it easy to change between them, but it makes this microscope model an example of one that we say is parfocal. A parfocal scope is one that, after you've focused it for one lens, changing to another objective lens should not really mess with the focus. It should still be at least roughly in focus when you go up in magnification by changing to a different objective lens. You might have to tweak the fine focus, but that's it. Anyway, that's what parfocal means. Most modern scopes are like that. There is a light source, a lamp, in the base. And so realize that there are two possible reasons why your lamp isn't lit. One is maybe that you didn't turn on the lamp, which there's an on-off switch on the right side. But if you turn that on and you still don't see any light, it's because on the other side, the left side of the base, there is a dimmer, which is an important feature of the microscope that's often looked by beginning microscopists. There's a tendency for people to think, well, if I can adjust the light, then the more light, the better. And that's not the case. Too much light gives you a bad image. Too little light, of course, also results in a bad image. So keep in mind that the dimmer is there when you play around with these things. There's all kinds of variables that you can change to get the best possible image, and that's why it's not a matter of just putting your eyes up to the instrument. Now, the dimmer is one of two ways I'm going to mention that you can affect how much light passes through the specimen, and therefore how bright it looks to your eyes. And if all you want to do is change the brightness, in other words, not affect anything else, then the best way of doing that is with the dimmer knob, because that's all it changes, is the light intensity. But just under this black platform, which we haven't talked about yet, you'll see another black knurled ring that you can move back and forth like I'm doing right here. That opens and closes an iris. You can call the device an iris, a diaphragm, or an aperture. Technically, the aperture is the hole. The diaphragm is the part that blocks the light, everything other than the hole. But diaphragm, aperture, and iris, those are more, you can use those interchangeably. This is just like an aperture on a single lens reflex camera. You can stop it down, have a smaller hole, or just like the pupil of your eyes, for that matter. You can stop it down and therefore let less light through, or open it up, let more light through. So that's the second way I'm mentioning that you can adjust the amount of light. It's just that that is not the only thing it affects. The reason that there is an iris is because any lens, there are a couple reasons, any lens has, even a well-designed lens, has some sort of distortion. And the distortion usually gets worse when you get toward the edge of the lens. So opening it all the way up, yes, it will let more light through, but it will also allow for more distortion due to the way it bends the light at the edges. And so stopping it down means you're using only the center of the lens, which is more accurate as far as distortion is concerned. The problem is the smaller you make the hole, you get into another problem called diffraction because of the way the light bends as it goes around an edge. So there's a trade-off. You want to close it down to prevent one type of distortion, to not use the edge of the lens, but you don't want to close it down so much that you start getting diffraction. There's a sweet spot, basically. And therefore, you can set that and not really worry about how much light is passing through, because once you have that set for the image quality, then you can use the dimmer to set the proper light level for that aperture setting. So you should play around with both of those when you look at things and see how it affects the image, whatever you're looking at today. All right? Now, I just mentioned a platform just because I knew you would know what I mean, because it looks like a platform, but that's not the real name of this platform. What is it actually supposed to be called? The stage. The stage of the microscope is the platform that you put the slide containing your specimen on. But you don't do that. Well, there's a hole in the stage. There has to be, for light to pass from the lamp below it upward through the slide that you put on the stage. But you shouldn't care about trying to position your slide over that hole in the center, or where the light beam is, because there's only one way to properly load a slide, and that is into the clamp, the silver in this model. The silver clamp, notice it opens up a little bit. So there's only one possible way to put a slide in there properly, and you should put it in there no matter where the position is. You don't care about the position because this clamp and associated gears collectively are called the mechanical stage. And the mechanical stage is controlled by a pair of knobs that hang down to the right of the stage. And they move the clamp. They move the mechanical stage, and therefore they move the slide. So always load the slide the only way it goes into the clamp, and then use the mechanical stage knobs to position the slide where you want it on the stage. The two knobs of the mechanical stage, by the way, work very much like the knobs of an Etch-a-Sketch. One of them moves the clamp left and right, and one of them moves it farther away or closer to you. So X and Y, basically. You can put it in any position, therefore. Now, two important ways that you need to customize this scope for your own body. This is why everyone has its own slide, its own microscope. Because every body is different. All right? If without even a slide on it, if you turn it on right now and look through it, turn the light on and then look through the oculars, you'll see that what you see is a circle of light. That circle of light is called a field of view. And maybe you're seeing two circles of light, maybe you're seeing one. You should see only one. But this brings up the first way that you should personalize this for your body. This has to do with something, a measurement of humans that's called the interpupillary distance, which simply means the distance between that person's two pupils, which is not a constant in humans. Some people have eyes farther apart, some closer together. And that's why if you grab these ocular lenses, you can notice that you can move them closer together and farther apart. So the proper way to adjust this is with both eyes open and at the proper distance to the lens, to the ocular lenses, your eyes, move them so that it looks like you're seeing one circle, one field of view. If you see two, like a MasterCard logo, then you're either too wide or too narrow, but also you might not have your eyes to the at the right distance. All of them can cause it. But the solution, it's kind of a difficult thing to get right. The solution is not to simply close one of your eyes, which I see people do all the time. And that's because if you do, then you lose the whole benefit of having a stereoscopic scope. You lose depth perception with only one eye. So use both, but adjust them correctly. And you should do that every time you use a scope, because it's not going to stay the same for the next time you use it. Once you have it set, though, the interpupillary distance, then you'll be okay for the whole day. All right, so that's one way. I'll talk about the second way in a minute. Now back to the stage. On either side of the neck, there is a redundant pair of knobs. So there's a pair of knobs on the right, large and small, pair of knobs on the left, large and small. They both do exactly the same thing, so it doesn't matter which ones you use, right or left. But go ahead and, without looking through the scope, just look at the stage and notice that moving that big knob, which is called the coarse focus knob, the larger one, if you move that, you can see that the stage goes up and down. And also notice that when you're moving that coarse focus knob, the smaller knob also moves faster than the coarse one. So that's the fine focus, the smaller one. Both of them will move the stage up and down, but the coarse focus knob moves it up quite a bit more per turn of the knob. Well, this is how you focus the scope. That's why they're called focus knobs. If we have an objective lens in place and just draw the edge of a glass slide, might have a cover slip on it, there is only one distance between the lens and the specimen that is correct distance for it to be perfectly in focus. And that distance depends on the lens. And therefore, you attain focus by bringing the whole stage up and down, and therefore changing that distance between the lens and the specimen. So that's why those are called focus knobs. But There's something to know about focusing that I should get to now. I'm going to explain the proper way to use this scope. So this is what you should do. I don't see 100% of students doing this, though. So obey this. Whenever you're starting, assuming that you've already turned it on, you should set your intrapupillary distance, okay, as I already described. That's the one adjustment for your body. Then, when it's time to view your first slide, you should always use the coarse focusing knob to bring the stage all the way down till it stops. Now, there's two reasons for this, but they're not of equal importance. One is simply that it gives you more room to work with, to put your slide in there without touching the lenses or getting them smudged, whatever. That's the less important reason. The more important reason is that if you didn't do that, if you just put a slide on the stage, whatever position the stage happened to be in from whoever used it last, there's almost 0% chance that it's going to be at exactly the right distance to be in perfect focus, right? So it's going to be out of focus. But there's two ways that that can happen. It can be out of focus because it's too high, the stage, or because it's too low. And you won't know which one is true. So if you just put it on a stage somewhere in the middle and then you start moving it up with the focus knob, if it's already too high and that's why it's out of focus, it's only going to get worse and it's never going to come into focus. But if you start at the bottom, yes, you know it's going to be out of focus to begin with, but you know why. And therefore, continuing to use the coarse focus knob and moving it up, and it takes patience because sometimes it takes longer than you would think, but eventually, if you have the slide centered on the light, something should pop into focus. So do it that way. But something that I didn't mention yet is that you should always start each slide, not just the first slide, all slides, you should start with the lowest magnification objective lens selected, which in this case is the red one. Now, that happens to be a 4x objective on this model, but on any model that has a choice of objective lenses, there's a special name that we give to whatever the lowest powered objective lens is, which is the scanning lens. In this case, the scanning lens is 4x. It's called the scanning lens because the lowest powered objective gives you the greatest possible view of the overall slide. This is the slide. You have a field of view, which is a circle, looks like a circle to you, that is some part of the overall area. That field of view, that circle that you see, always looks the same size to your eyes. But it's not actually the same size with respect to how much of the slide you're looking at. Because when you go to higher magnification objectives, it's kind of like zooming in. It will look like the same circle, but it's really a smaller circle within the other when you go in. And therefore, everything in there is going to look bigger, taking up that field of view for your eyes. All right? So as you increase magnification by going to higher magnification objectives, the field of view diameter decreases. If you do the same thing, meaning that you go up into higher powered objectives, another variable changes, which is called the depth of focus. Now the depth, I told you earlier that there is really only one distance that's truly in focus. But because of the way our eyes work, we can't detect an error in focus until it gets a certain amount of badness. So there is a range of distances, like this bracket, for instance. Anywhere in that range would, to our eyes, look in focus, as long as the true focus is somewhere in that range. And whatever that range is called the depth of focus. Well, a higher powered objective lens has a much smaller depth of focus than a lower powered objective. And the consequence of that is that the scanning lens is always, by far, the easiest lens to focus. That's why you should always start with it. But also you should start with it because of why it's called the scanning lens. Since you're looking at a bigger portion of the slide with the scanning lens, that allows you to scan over the lens using moving around with the mechanical stage to look for something that's interesting that you want to get a closer look at. Now, if that interesting thing is somewhere at the edge of the field of view, you don't want to immediately go up in magnification, because when you do, it's not going to be in the new field of view. Right? That's why if you find something interesting, then use the mechanical stage to move the slide so that that interesting thing is right in the middle. Then when you go up in magnification, it will still be there. You see what I'm saying there? But anyway, that's why it's called the scanning lens. Easiest to focus, but also gives you a good view of the overall things to look at. Okay, so let's get back to this proper procedure. You've turned it on, you've set the interpupillary distance, you have the scanning lens in place, you have the stage all the way down, you put the slide into the clamp properly, then you roughly center it over the light using the mechanical stage. Next, what you do is to close your left eye. This is if both of your eyes work, which I shouldn't assume, but probably for most of you they do. Close your left eye, keep only your right eye open, looking only through the right ocular. While continuously looking with just that one eye, use the coarse focus knob to gradually bring the stage up. It will be out of focus, and it will continue to be out of focus for some time, but keep bringing it up while you're looking, and eventually something should pop into focus, or it should become visible, and you should continue to use the coarse focus knob to get it as good a focus as you can for that right eye. Then you take your fingers off the coarse focus and use just the fine focus, which doesn't move it nearly as much, and make it as good as you can get it for that right eye. Then you take your hands completely off both focus knobs and leave them off both focus knobs for that slide, because you've already set the focus for your right eye. Okay? This brings up the second major way that you need to personalize it for your eyes. Another thing that you have to personalize for is that you might not have equal eyes with respect to the ability to focus. So, since you've already set it for your right eye, you don't want to change the focus knobs. You then just close your right eye, open up your left eye, look through just the left ocular, and if by chance it's still in perfect focus, you're all set, but that's unlikely. If it's slightly out of focus with just the left eye, keep your hands off the focus knob so you don't ruin it for your right eye, but notice that on the ocular, there's a little ring that, notice when I move it, it changes the length of the lens. That's a separate focus just for the ocular itself. And so by using that ocular focus, make it perfect for the left eye. And then you can open both eyes and it should be as good as it's going to get for your eyes, except for any adjustments in light intensity. Then you can play around with the aperture and the dimmer to see what they do. Okay? So take your time to do that, and you'll get as good an image as possible. Like I said, today is mostly just practicing with it, getting used to using it. But I want to talk about some slides that you're going to look at. Let me go back up to this drawing. I told you that when you go up to higher magnification, that reduces not only the diameter of the field of view, but it also reduces the depth of focus. At the scanning lens, there is a pretty deep depth of focus. So it's not probably going to be this deep. I just drew it that way. But notice whatever your sample is here would look entirely in focus because the range is bigger than the depth of the specimen. Well, one of the slides you're going to look at has three threads in it. Three different colors. I think red, yellow, and green, whatever. But the three threads are at different levels horizontally. One's on top, one's in the middle, one's on the bottom. And that's to demonstrate this depth of focus thing. If you use the scanning lens, It has such a deep depth of focus that you can set the microscope so that all three will look in focus to your eyes at the same time. But when you go up to the high level, high magnification, the depth of focus is so narrow that you can only focus one color at a time. The other two will, at the same time, look out of focus. Because at high magnification, the depth of focus can be so tiny that it's not even as thick as a cell. So you might be able to focus on the top of a cell, but the rest of the cell will be out of focus, and you can kind of scan through the thickness of the cell at high magnification. It's much more difficult to focus a high magnification. That's why you never start with it. Every time you change lenses, go back through the process that I told you, starting with the scanning lens. All right, so you have two categories of slides, which are prepared slides and wet mounts. You don't technically have to do a wet mount today, but you have to at least look at the prepared slides. You'll do a wet mount, at least one wet mount, next week. Whether you do one today or not is your choice. But I'm going to demonstrate, I'm going to say something about wet mounts today, even if you don't do one today. The prepared slides, though, are permanent. Don't throw these away. They've been prepared for you. That's why they're called that. Their cover slip is glued on there. They're in place. Nothing living in them. But they're on these trays. And the trays are labeled as to what there are. There's three different kinds of slides. It doesn't matter which one you get from the tray. They're all the same. At least they are if the previous class did what I'm asking you to do, which is to put them back in the right tray. Don't mix them up. But there's one of a dog flea, which is interesting to look at in very close-up detail. There's one of a letter E. It's just a typed letter E, and it's big enough so that when you just pick up the slide and look at it with your naked eye, you can see the E. It's not that it's so interesting to look at an E. This demonstrates another important thing about the scope, though, which is when you look at something through a microscope, the image is reversed left and right and upside down compared to what it actually is. And you can demonstrate this by looking with your naked eye at the E, putting the slide down so that it's in the right position as you would read it. And then when you look at it, it'll be upside down and left, right, reversed. Not only that, but when you use the mechanical stage to move the things around, what looks like things that are moving toward the left, when you look through with your eyes, through the oculars, if you actually look what's happening with the mechanical stage, it's actually moving in the opposite direction because of everything's being reversed. So that's why that one is included, to demonstrate that fact. And then I just told you about the threads one. That's the third one. So pay attention to the fact that at higher magnification, you can only focus on one at a time because of that narrow depth of focus. Now, the wet mount, like I said, you need to do this at least next week, but today is optional. But any given wet mount is not a prepared slide. You make your own slide, starting with a blank glass slide, which are out. The glass slides are, you could cut yourself with a slide, but you kind of have to try to. But the other piece of glass, the cover slips, which are much thinner pieces of glass, you need to really be careful with those because they can slash you pretty easily. Not if you're careful. The more important thing, though, about the cover slips is that you need to pay attention to where they are. I don't want to see them spread out over the counter or on the floor. If that happens, pick them up carefully. The best way to do it, don't try to get them on the edge or you'll cut your finger. Just press down on the flat part and they'll probably stick to your finger. But the reason that's so important is you don't want people coming in cleaning up, not realizing they're there, and they might be wiped, they could get them in a napkin and crush the napkin and it would go right through their palm of their hand. So don't do that. Pay attention to where they are. Anyway, you have a slide and a cover slip. It's called a wet mount because you put some droplet, like pond water or whatever, onto it to see if there's anything interesting in there. And it's pretty straightforward, but the biggest problem you can easily run into is air bubbles, which will happen if you just haphazardly plop the cover slip onto a droplet. So don't do it that way. especially because they get in the way of looking at real things that you want to look at, and also people are confused when they're first starting with a microscope into thinking that the air bubbles are cells because they're nice round things, but they're really just air bubbles. So if you consider my hand to be the slide, you would first put your droplet somewhere in the middle, and then you take a cover slip and on edge put it next to the droplet, and then just let it fall. And that will push the air out to the side rather than collecting it as droplet, as air bubbles in there. All right? I think that's all, unless you have questions. So just practice with it, and just know that we'll be using these again next week, which you should be a little bit better practiced by then. And if you want to use the dissecting scopes today, those are in this closet. There's not enough for every person for those, but maybe there is now that we're sparse. Anyway, go ahead.